First Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to get through some material here this evening, and I am wanting to impress upon each and every one of your hearts tonight the reality that there is hope for this country that we call home. And I believe the hope is found first and foremost in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in His church. And there's nothing that God's people involved in God's institution, the local church, lit up in every community across this land can't fix what's broken. All right? And what a blessing it is that tonight we have God's word as our final authority. I want us to understand as we're going to 1 Thessalonians that many times we read these New Testament books and we fail to recognize that these were local churches and many of them recently started. Now, I can't tell you exactly how old this church is when this little book is written, but if you go to 1 Thessalonians, the last chapter, the last little phrase of chapter 5, the Bible says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The first epistle unto the Thessalonians was written from Athens. Now, if you know your history, you recognize that the church of Thessalonica was planted in Acts 17, beginning in verse number 1. By the end of that chapter, Paul's in Athens. Now, how long all that transpired, I'm not sure, but it's the exact same church planting trip that Paul is on, that this letter goes back to this church seeking to encourage this church concerning the reality of changing a nation. And that's really what I'm speaking on tonight. How do you change a nation? I mean, we have our issues, don't we, here in California and a lot of other places as well. And we sometimes wonder, can we actually do something significant enough to alter the course of a nation? And the reality is, according to God's preserved word, a nation is being impacted because of one local church. And that's what I want to get down into your heart tonight. I think sometimes we feel like, what can we do? We're just one church. I mean, how can we make a real difference? We're just one church. And yet the reality is God's wanting to take churches just like this and profoundly impact our nation for the cause of Christ. Every year, 4,000 churches in America close their door. And I realize these are not independent fundamental Baptist churches, all of them, but some do. Not too long ago, a good independent fundamental Baptist church in the city I ministered in for many years in Fresno closed its doors. A young church, only 5 years old, and desiring here to see a lighthouse established in that area of the city, and yet they're gone today, non-existent. Once a lighthouse, once reaching people, and the truth is, the doors do close, 4,000 every year. Now, here's the sad truth. There's only 1,500 churches that are started every year. Now, you help me here. Are we going forward or backward? All right, if we're losing 4,000 and we're only seeing 1,500 that are added, we realize that we have a tremendous need in front of us. And that's the heartbeat tonight, looking at our own nation and the need there. Here, writing in a book, George Barna said this, "With its 195 million unchurched people, America has become the new mission field." I want that to sink in a little bit. 195 million unchurched people. People that on Sundays could care less about darkening the doors of a church. They're out there. They're all over. And we are quickly becoming a land that is forsaking its God. America has more unchurched people than the entire populations of all but 11 of the world's 194 nations. Now think of that. More unchurched people than the entire populations of all but 11 of the nation's 194 nations. A book written, Lost in America, these gentlemen had this to say. "The unchurched population in the United States is so extensive that were it a nation, it would be the fifth largest on the planet." That's how many unreached people we have in our own country. Something has to happen. Something has to take place. we have to get a burden once again as local New Testament churches, going back to the pattern. Several months ago, we looked at plan A from the Word of God. And for you that were here that night, we went back into the New Testament era, and we saw what God's people did in 25, 30 years in literally covering the world with churches as they desired to live out the Great Commission. There's a need. There's a tremendous need. Let's look here at the plan of God. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from 1 Thessalonians 1, since I have you there, and then we'll be quoting some verses as we go along. But notice here, Paul and Silvanus. Now, Paul and Silas, that was that team that started on the second trip. And so they're familiar with Silas. They're familiar with Paul. The Bible also says, and Timotheus. Remember on that second missionary journey or second church planting trip, as I like to call it, they recruited some additional team members. So it was Paul, Silas. That first stop, they went to check on the churches that were recently planted. And there's a young disciple that's really growing like a weed, Timothy. And they add him to the team. And then as you read through the text, you'll find that they're going to add Luke also, because you're going to have these passages now, the we passages, where Luke, as he's writing the book of Acts, he's including himself in this journey. So you have a team. They're gathered together. And the Bible says here now that they're speaking to this new church plant, and there's some wonderful things that they're saying. They thank God, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. They're praying for this young church. Verse 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And then he talks about their testimony and how they became followers of us and the Lord. How they had a passion to get the gospel message out to their own city and beyond their city. It always amazed me here as you read in verse number 8, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. But it doesn't say they sounded out the word of the Lord in the city of Thessalonica. It went way beyond that, my friend. Here the Bible says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is that region that the city of Thessalonica was in. Matter of fact, it's half a country as we know it today. This would be the country of Greece. And so Macedonia is that northern section of Greece. Achaia is the southern section of Greece. And the Bible tells us here that Paul is mentioning that they are now impacting their country for the cause of Christ. And I tell you, that's something that one local church can do if it understands God's purpose and God's plan. The plan of God, it's clear. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a wonderful promise. It doesn't matter how dark the day is. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. Down the road or up the road in Hollywood, what's going on in Sacramento, what's going on in Washington, D.C. That doesn't matter. What matters is, what is God's church doing? What are God's people doing to impact a world for Jesus Christ? And so here we see a population of 7 billion people. They say 250 million people walking on the planet when Jesus Christ ministered, and we see this scenario lived out in the book of Acts, 250 million, and now we have the responsibility of seeking to reach 7 billion, 22 times the population that the folks here in Acts knew to reach. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Do we need more of God's power and God's plan, or less of it? We need a greater dependence on our living God to accomplish the task that he's given to us. Are we, as a local church, going to recognize the role that we have? Come on. I think we're waiting for the next guy to do it. Come on. Let the other church take care of that. Let some group of churches take care of that. I want you to know this evening that it is the responsibility of every local New Testament church to be engaged in carrying out the Great Commission. And part of that, by the way, is planting churches. Amen. How in the world are we going to baptize people and teach them all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us if we're not starting churches? Because the last time I checked, baptism is a local church ordinance. Yes. You can't reach the world and teach them all from one location. You've got to go. And you need to spend the time in helping disciples grow. Number two, the prompting of the Spirit. All right, so we see that this is God's plan. It's not man's plan. It's how to impact the world, how to change the world. We saw from Acts chapter 17 that they were accused of turning the world upside down.
Right.
And what a blessing as we look at this little letter, this little epistle, that this church is there because of the prompting of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you something. Are we listening to the Spirit of God as local churches? Aren't you glad the church of Antioch was right with God?
Yes.
That they were Spirit-filled, not just preachers, but also folks in the pew?
Yes, sir.
Because the Holy Spirit in Acts 13 spoke to the church. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And it was the Spirit of the living God that got a hold of that church at Antioch and caused that church of Antioch to realize, we can't just sit here with this good news. We've got to take it to the uttermost. And what a blessing to see that this prompting of the Spirit of God led to that first church planting trip, and then the second church planting trip, and then that third church planting trip. And the whole book of Acts is just a biography of what took place and what God did. We live here in California with a population of 37 million people. Listen, your Jerusalem is this city. This is your Jerusalem. Everything that we're doing as a local church, as we're going out and reaching people in the bus routes and neighboring community, we start with Long Beach. And then we have a Judea, don't we? That greater Los Angeles area that needs churches all over the place. We're going to look at how many we have and how many we need. But we have a Samaria, which is our own country. All of these were fairly close. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Really, in Jesus' day, you could go 30 miles and be in Samaria. But that uttermost is what they had their eye on. And let me tell you, everything we learned about church planting here in the United States is just the prelude to reaching this world. We have to have a global mindset. Listen, if we're not starting churches here, why should any young person get burdened about starting a church somewhere else? If we're not burdened about a city right down the road, why would we expect anybody to get a burden for halfway around the world? Our churches ought to be reproducing churches that are a laboratory for our future missionaries and church planters and evangelists and pastors. And they need to have that experience so that God could use them in the days to come. Some question whether there's really a need for church planting in California. We mentioned the population. Five of the largest cities in California are in tremendous need, as so many other cities are. Los Angeles has 4 million people and four churches, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that are seeking to reach 4 million people. Now, that's a huge job. We need more, not less, when it comes to laborers. San Diego, 1.3 million. That's the second largest, and three local churches there. That's one church trying to minister to 458,000 people. In San Jose, where I began our ministry 34 years ago, hard to believe, but there my children were born in that area. I have seven children, five boys, two girls. The first five were all born in that San Jose area. And when I arrived in San Jose back in 1980, they had a population of 600,000 people. Today, the population is 1 million. And when we were there 34 years ago, there was one independent fundamental Baptist church in San Jose proper. And as of last year, there was still just that one independent fundamental Baptist church. Not a new church planted in over 50 years in the city of San Jose. Praise the Lord. 4 weeks ago, my son yielded to the call to go to San Jose, started Southridge Baptist Church, and God is blessing already wonderfully.
Amen.
Wonderfully.
Amen.
All to the glory of God.
Yes.
So now you got two churches trying to reach a million people. Still a big job, isn't it? Still more laborers are needed. San Francisco, number four, 800,000 people with two independent fundamental Baptist churches. Fresno, where I spent so many years, 500,000 people, and we were starting to make some inroads and have four churches that are there reaching about 126,000 or trying to reach 126,000. It is amazing to me on the great need everywhere we look and how desperate we are to get back to God's plan of seeing churches established. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, comparing Los Angeles and the city of Los Angeles to a lot of states and the population, it's quite interesting. All right? These are a list of the states. Oh, what happened? Did we not take that down? I can't believe that. I've been doing this, looking at myself and touching something, just going. You want to see what you missed? No. We won't do that. All right, come on. Boy, do I apologize. See, that's what happens when you don't look behind you. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, here's a list of just the states that have less of a population than the city of Los Angeles. Would you look at that? Some of those numbers there, and I stopped because it took me too much time. But some of those numbers have to do with how many independent fundamental Baptist churches there are in each one of those states. All right, remember I said there's four in Los Angeles. Here we have Oregon, 75. I'm thankful there's 75 in Oregon. Yeah. There should be 750. But I tell you, when you start looking at this, Oklahoma, 158, and Connecticut, and Mississippi, Arkansas, 158. It is amazing. Thank God for every one of the churches. And here we have 4 million people with four churches. Either the Holy Spirit is not interested in seeing people saved in Los Angeles, or we've got people not listening to the Holy Spirit. It's one of the two. And I'll tell you what, I just came back from the Midwest. I've been at a conference on Sunday and just got in last night and went home for a few hours, went and taught this morning and got here this afternoon. And can I tell you what? The folks in the Midwest look at you really strangely. Yep. They really do. It's a sad thing. There's such a great need here, but they'll look at somebody from California just a little like you are a little strange. Matter of fact, I think they have prayer meetings routinely to ask God to let it just fall off into the ocean. You know, no, it's not quite that, all right. But there are people here that just, man, I'd never want my children to go out to California. I'd never encourage. There's pastors that say, listen, you want to go out there to Los Angeles, you'll never get any ground to build a church. And their whole concept of a church is a piece of property. And if you don't have a piece of property, well, how in the world can you have a church? Last time I checked, the church had nothing to do with a building or a piece of ground. It had everything to do with souls that need to be saved and gather together in a local church and go borrow a building. But let's do the work. Let's trust the Lord. Wyoming, 44 independent fundamental Baptist churches compared out to Fresno. Same population, and yet we see here it's a 10-to-1 ratio. In Alaska, there are 67 independent fundamental Baptist churches. San Francisco, 2. Yep. I'm just telling you, something's wrong. Probably the fishing in San Francisco isn't as good as the fishing up in Alaska. I don't know. Something. Something's going on. But oh, that God would just pierce our hearts and convict us of a great, great need. Is there a need? Absolutely. Right now, there is one independent fundamental Baptist church for every 134 thousand here in California. That's a pretty pathetic ratio because nationwide we're about 1 per 24,000. Matter of fact, it's the most needy state of all the states. New York would be second with about 87. One local church for every 87,000. We have recently started in Simi Valley, California. I do appreciate your continued prayers for us. We just finished our first full year of ministry. God's been doing some wonderful, wonderful things. But, you know, our heart is set on that area and letting our Jerusalem spill over into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost. There's a 15-foot circle around Simi Valley. I've got 32 communities. The red stars are where there's an independent Baptist church. So we've got 28 communities that do not have an independent fundamental Baptist church. And someone needs to go. 32 cities. The population in those 32 cities, 2 million people. Again, it staggers the mind, doesn't it? But we could do that anywhere here in Southern California. It just stand somewhere, and you can draw a mile, a 15-mile circle around you, and you're going to find there's going to be 2 million people in there. How many good churches? They're few and far between. And oh, how we need some of you young people just to yield to the Lord. Just say, I'm willing to do what God needs for me to do. All right, 15 states with 2 million or fewer in population. That's amazing. All right, so you got 15 million here. These 15 states with less population than what is in that circle of mine, 15 miles out. All right, there's a need. There's people. People need the Lord. To balance the ratio, this is really dealing with just in California. To have as many churches as we have in California, that's that 126,000 number, we need to add 15 new churches right now in my circle. And I say my circle because that's where I live. That's my Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So just to come up to the California average, I need 15 churches. To come up to the national average, we're going to need 40 churches. All right, can you see the need? Do you see how here in California, a lot of people throw stones, you know, and I'm going to stay over here. And they let us know about how wicked it is, but where's the help? Where's the light? Where's the salt? Amen. Where are the laborers? Come on now. I was raised in Wisconsin, cow country, cheese country. And I'm so glad that early on in my life ministry, God allowed us to come out here just to see the need. Worked 4 years on staff in Santa Clara, and thank God for just opening the eyes to what is all around us. All right? Back to the text. There's a pursuit of the lost in Acts chapter number 17, and I want you to go there with me, please. If you have your Bibles right there on your lap, Acts chapter 17, go back there just a little bit. We see in the starting of this church at Thessalonica that they went on purpose to this city, prompted by the Holy Spirit of God, to seek those that were without Christ. And the Bible tells us here in verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them did what? Believed. Isn't that great? Some of them are going to believe. You just go. You preach the word of God. You preach the gospel. You let God use you, and some folks are going to believe. And oh, that we would just desire here to have that pursuit of the lost in our country as well as around the world. Here we have our valley up on the north side there of Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, and many of you have driven through there. I can come up with these churches. And there's 1.76 million souls. I don't think 1,760 folks attend those churches. I asked someone close to those ministries, and you add all four of them together, and they're not at 1,760. You say, why is that important? Because I want you to see the fraction here of the folks that are being reached and those that are not being reached. All right, to have 1,700 folks in those four churches, this is what you'd be doing. Do you see that number? There would still be 99.9% of people who don't attend a church like this. Question, is there a need? Come on. Yeah. All right. I mean, literally, you work that fraction out. Would that be like 1,000? Is that what we're talking about? 1 out of 1,000? Is that the ratio? Math teacher here? I think that's what it is. So you got 1,000 people, and for every 1,000, there's one that's attending. All right, if my math is wrong, you help me, all right? Talk to me later. Give me a D, not an F, all right? 0.1%. All right, so 1.758 million that are yet unreached. they need the Lord. All right, the power of the gospel. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to go fast here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What is necessary? What's necessary is the power of God on display as these folks are going forth. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in what?
Power.
In power. The power of the gospel will change lives.
Amen.
I can't do it. You can't do it. But the Holy Spirit, coupled with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, can transform people. So here we have the power of the gospel. And as the power of the gospel is unleashed, we see that a church is planted. 1 Thessalonians 1:1 tells us that they're writing to the church that's at Thessalonica. So there is a planting of a church. By the way, that's a biblical concept and philosophy. Paul, there in 1 Corinthians, talks about how he planted and Apollos did what? He watered. But who gave the increase? God. So there's a ministry that the Apostle Paul had was in planting these churches. And then others would come and help in that ministry to see it grow. We talked a little bit about Schubel Stearns last time. And of course, when Brother Beller comes through, he helps us on that. But in 1755, we know the story. Now, the Baptist church planting revival and how Schubel Stearns, coming out of that great awakening, became a new light. They were in the congregational church as a congregational preacher. And through the preaching of the word of God, they became a new light. And they started to see things in the congregational church that weren't right. And so they separated from that congregational church. And then as they are a separate church, bumps into somehow providentially Waite Palmer, a Baptist preacher in his state. And Waite Palmer speaks to Schubel Stearns about a more excellent way. And now God got a hold of Schubel Stearns' heart. He's led by the Spirit of God down to North Carolina, Sandy Creek area. And there, the miracle of the beginning of this church planting revival takes place.
Amen.
Two purposes. Number one, the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
That was their number one purpose.
Amen.
We want to see God glorified. And can I tell you something? Ephesians 3 tells us that he's glorified in the church throughout all ages, world without end. He's still looking to be glorified in his church. So you've got the glory of God and the salvation of men. Those two principles just weighed heavy on their hearts. And they determined that they were going to go out and they were going to reach a world for Christ. We've seen this, 42 churches in 16 years. What a wonderful testimony. Out of one church, 42 churches in a short period of time, only 16 years, 125 ministers. He also talks about sons and daughters. The sons were the preacher boys, and every church needs to have sons and daughters. These sons were those that were saved in the ministry and raised up in the ministry and sent out of that ministry. And the daughters were the churches that were started. And so the passion was all about sons and daughters for the glory of God. Let's see souls saved. Let's see churches established. Let's see more sons and more daughters so that God can impact a nation. The persecution of the church takes place as well here in 1 Thessalonians. We see what a difficult time it was. Verse number 6 of chapter 1 tells us, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much what?
Affliction.
You know, church planting and men and churches that get involved in church planting, let me tell you, you paint a target on your back. Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. Because he knows that's the one thing that'll change a nation. That's the one thing that'll change a city. That'll change a community. Is people getting serious about the word of God. Not thinking, well, somebody else is going to do that, but no, a local church getting serious about it. And when you get serious about it, get ready to take some hits, take some shots. I've seen it happen time and time and time and time and time and time again. You get this big bullseye on your back. Why? Because you're just trying to do what God commands you to do. How about chapter 2, verse 2? But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you. They didn't quit. They were persecuted. They went through a difficult time, and yet they kept going for the glory of God. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. You take your Bible some time and read the verse prior to 2 Timothy 3:12. In its context, it's all about church planting. Paul talks about his journeys and what happened. And he said, but hey, you know, that's a part of it. All those that live godly, all those that will obey God, all those that will take seriously the word of God and just pray that God's church is multiplied, they will suffer. They will suffer. You know, this is an article from Reuters news agency a while ago, and you can't see all the fine print, but they highlighted a decade and the growth, nearly doubling mosques here in the United States in just one decade. How come we're not in USA Today hearing about the independent Baptists have doubled in the last decade? Why not, folks? We have a God that's all powerful. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We have the same Holy Spirit that this early church had. We have the same manuscript, the same blueprint. How in the world can they be more dedicated than we are? How can they be more determined to see more mosques than we see churches here in California? USA Today had this to say. There are now 2.6 million Muslims. And by the way, Muslims need the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
They need to be reached with the gospel. 2.6 million in our country. Church Steel Works identified that number, 2.47 million independent fundamental Baptists. That ought to sober you up a little bit. That there are more Muslims than there are independent fundamental Baptists. And they're growing at a clip, folks, that we're not coming close to growing.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't get serious, our kids and our grandkids are going to pay the price.
Right.
Our disobedience, it will come at a cost. And there is some persecution. And there's more to come if we don't obey. So here you have, in our own state, and again, they actually gave the figures in that USA Today article about our own state, where 276 come from the book as far as Church Still Works, and they listed 246 Muslim mosques. There's a job to do. They're growing at 100%, basically, according, again, to the research that was done, we're only growing at a clip of 15%. They're growing at 100% for the decade. We grew at 15% for the decade. All right? We're falling behind. We're falling behind. And oh, that God would just burden us concerning the great need. All right, let's look at the pattern that was modeled. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and this is such a blessing because this is at the heart of our future church planting. The Bible says in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That there's a pattern here that is modeled, and it's modeled by Paul, and it's modeled by Timothy, and it's modeled by Luke, and it's modeled by Silas. And here the Bible says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. So there's a pattern that was available, and the pattern were those established, mature believers training now a young church of all new believers. And that young church takes it all in like sponges, and now they are going to live out what they saw in this pattern. That's why soul winning is important. That's why discipleship is important, because that's how you build a local New Testament church. And what a blessing it is to see what God does in and through that. We're touching on the power of multiplication. We're just finished our first year, but we had what we call a church planting Sunday just several weeks ago, and both of these church planters are near and dear to my heart, because one was a former assistant pastor, and one is my son, my number three son. Both of them started churches here last month in January, here in California. That's a blessing to my heart. It is something that we need to preach about, but folks, it's something we need to do. We need to do. And say, God, would you help us? So they had their first day, January 26. Micaiah Ermler, I appreciate you praying for that family. And then Brother Jack Lamb, he and his family are now in West Covina, Anchor Baptist Church. Both of them serving God, seeking to reach souls for Christ. Now, there was a church several years ago that we planted out of our home church in Merced, California. And I'm happy to report that they are about to send out one from their church to plant a church here in March. So now you got three churches here in California, basically all with roots to one congregation in Central California that has desire to do nothing but just take the word of God, believe it, and practice it. That's all. And what you will see over time is just a real impacting of a state and a country for the glory of God. All right, the proof of changed lives, what a blessing that is. They turn. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. We're almost done. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. The proof of the changed life. I think I just went a little bit too fast over there, the reality of the importance of multiplying. But let me just say this, going back just a couple verses. Verse 8 is the key verse in chapter 1. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God was spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now let's bring it to home. That would be like saying, Pacific Baptist Church, you're doing such a great job that, you know, we go up and down the state of California, and we're in Central California, we're in Northern California, we're in Southern California, and everywhere we go, they're talking about the fact that you've already been here. All of Macedonia, northern Greece, all of Achaia, southern Greece, and this one local church was having such an impact that the Bible says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not just in your city, but in your country of Macedonia. Not just in your country of Macedonia, but also Achaia. Would to God that our churches would get back to that.
Amen.
And recognizing that it starts with local churches just like this, desiring to multiply. Yes. And the proof is the changed lives. Thank God for it. Thank the Lord here for what he does in turning people's lives right side up. And we can see the testimony in this room even tonight. All right? The priceless reward. All right? I want to just finish here with this thought. Go with me to chapter 2, verse number 19. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the Apostle Paul talks about crowns, all right? How many would love to have a crown that you're laying down at the Savior's feet? Anybody here in the room? Anybody at all? All right, well, Paul was really anxious to have a crown that he could lay down, and he talks about crown. I want you just to think with me, and we're done, all right? Here we go. Look at this wonderful verse, verse 19 of chapter 2. He said, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? So he's saying, listen, I want a crown, but what is it? How do you identify it? What in the world is this crown that we can present before the Savior? And he says, it's simple. It's you. It's you. You are the crown of rejoicing. And so as Apostle Paul went and he started these churches, he said, listen, you are the crown. We use the name Crown Point Baptist Church because we want to be reminded that this is a crown that is going to be presented. It's the elders, by the way, in Revelation, if you read through chapter 4, that are casting their crowns, plural, at the feet of the Savior. I wonder how many pastors today have very many crowns. This is not the only crown that Paul had. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he said about this church. This was also started on that second missionary journey. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my what? My joy and what? Help me. You're not even there. Crown. Crown. It's a great verse. Therefore, my beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown. My crown. Listen, every one of you young people that are going out to be used of God. Your heart ought to be, I want a lot of crowns. I'd like for the ministry that God puts me in to be responsible to see a crown established there and there and there and there and there, and then all standing before his throne one day.
Amen.
Wow. What a blessing. That's priceless. That's priceless. And we have the privilege of being a part of that. And oh, I trust even tonight that God would help us here to see how we can be involved. Father, thank you so much for